Welcome to episode 60. I'm your host, Sean Patrick Maloney.
Let's jump over to more of the brokerage side, because I know that I have quite a few brokers in here, right. And I myself, I'm a broker. So where would you say, let's start right back at the beginning. Where would you start as a broker as far as getting ready to amplify? You know, you've got the thing, you've gone through your brokerage, and now you're starting off. And
man, such a hard question, man. So, I'll tell you the you know, where I got to. So I got to a point where, I had an opinion about who I wanted to work with every day. I got tired of working with people that didn't do the work. Like, my agents on my team were not the same people oftentimes that I would want to invite to hang out with me, on the weekends. You know, they weren't like me. And so, that was always frustrating, and that, that they're not, they just weren't working at the caliber, at the level that I would want to that I would be able to have an intelligent conversation around. You got to kind of decide who you want, which agents are, what's your model? Number one, what is your business model? Are you going to have a varied split structure? Are you going to have, what's the highest split you're going to offer, and what is your value proposition? Who are you going after out there, and what is it that you have that nobody else has? And so that's a real important thing. I think, the default easy thing to go back to is recruiting new agents. And the reason I say that is because you get them on a lower split and you teach them the game, and they go find a little bit of success. But you're going to be babysitting. It's like an adult daycare. That's a kind of a profitable model. So, it just depends on who you want to serve and what the value proposition is. What is the value that you add, and at what agent production level is that the most valuable, and really like zero in on, this is who I'm going after. And if it's, somebody that's, out there solo doing, 50 deals and their tongue's dragging, and you have good systems that you can help put in place, for us, because we coached agents, that was our sweet spot. When we started the broker, we said, we're going to go get agents that are basically doing 40 or 50 deals. We found a persona of who we were going after. Here's what split they're on. They're on like a 70-30 probably, somewhere else. And we're going to plug in some administrative help for them. And we're going to help them do marketing, and we're going to help them put systems in place and coach them one-on-one. And so, they knew that, you could pay us $1,500 a month for that, for the coaching. There was a sweet spot there that we could go get agents on a 70-30 split and help them get to a certain level. And then we would elevate them up all the way up to a 90-10. And, that was a better model than coaching for us, because, we make $1,300 per person, and that person might stay with you for 2 or 3 or 5 years. But if we could get a little piece of the revenue for the long haul, that would be a better deal. So like we, the way we saw it is, if I get an agent doing a couple hundred deals, and that's what we were kind of, we wanted to build agents to that level, at the highest level that they would go, people that were super ambitious, but we wanted those kind of agents. And we just wanted to keep like 10% of their big business is a lot. And we could cater to that. So that was our angle. So, but there's all these different, spectrums of, but it's, if you don't get really clear on this part, then, you're going to be trying to talk to everybody, but really have no clear value proposition for any of them. Right. Like it's not going to be clear, like who you really add the most value to. So like this piece is really important, is figuring out what your model is and who you really want to target. And dialing this part in is a very important step.
What about the conversation when you get an agent in front of you, you're recruiting, and then they say, why shouldn't I go to, and we don't even need to name somebody, but XYZ Realty, why shouldn't I go there? Why should I go to you? How do you counter those types of things?
Yeah. So, in a typical presentation, what I try to do is build a presentation where some people believe this philosophy, some people don't. I happen to kind of work within this framework. But if I'm getting objections at the end of a presentation, then I need to rethink how I'm doing our presentation. And so I used to get people asking, hey, what do you get this commission objection? What do you say to this? And I'm like, I don't ever get that objection. And I used to not really recognize, it's like, oh, it's because I cover that shit in the presentation. Like I purposely talk about the things that are likely to be objections, And I handle those objections through the education process, the presentation, so that there's not an objection at the end that I have to deal with. So, you know, the way I think about answering this question is, okay, well, what would I have said that would have kept kept him, someone, from saying, why shouldn't I go down the road to such and such, such and such? And so, you know, that becomes your differentiated value proposition. Why should someone just come here versus coming and going somewhere else? And you have to be able to define what that is and break this down to the principle so you can talk through it and say, hey, here's all the things you should be considering. Here's support. Here's how everyone else does it. Here's how we do it. Here's what training, this is how they do it. You know, like if we're competing with somebody who sells training, right? Like, oh, well, they got training there too. Yeah, but you got to buy it. Okay. That's not the case here. Our training is, we got more of it and it's proven to get results. And right. Like, so you just like break down all of the components of the decision-making process that people are going through. And then align your presentation to cover those objections up front so that you don't have one at the end. That's how I would try to do that. But if someone just hit me with that objection after I gave a presentation, I would be pointing back to the part of the presentation where, because we do check-ins and tie-downs on everything, so do you see how, like, you know, after I would explain the big differences in us versus every other model, I would say, do you see how having a business model where we're aligned and my compensation is aligned to your success, and you see how that would be valuable, trade-off from what you would see at other companies? And they say, yes, now you said yes. So now that means you agreed with the concept that this business model was better than their business model, and it's going to be more valuable to you. So at the end, if you gave me that objection, I would say, okay, that's great. Remember when we talked about the business models and how you felt like it was important to have somebody that was financially aligned to your success? Well, that's one. If I was going to give a reason, I would say that's probably the number one reason why you should be here versus be somewhere else, where there's not somebody that's financially aligned to your success, and you'd be, you know, becoming, you know, helping to get to the big goals that you told me were important to you or whatever. Right. So like, it's all a process, right? Like, you know, you don't just get like in a vacuum, an objection. It's all a process of needs analysis, understanding what their goals are, helping get clear on what's important to them. Then taking your presentation and showing them how you're going to help them accomplish that goal. And then at the end, it should be an easy decision. But if you do all that part right, then, you know, you shouldn't be getting objections.
That kind of reminds me of some of the Jordan Belfort Way of the Wolf stuff with
that. Yeah. I mean, we've been through all his stuff. I mean, I would say, you know, I don't know who I'd say influenced our sales processes the most, because we're always learning and growing and trying different things. There's a lot of really good ones, you know, that you can learn from. But I would say that Jordan Belfort definitely has influenced a lot of our stuff. Tony Robbins obviously has great sales mastery training. Yeah. I mean, we've been through so many, I could name them all, but you kind of take a little bit from every one that you go through and find a flow that works for you.
Yeah. One of the things I'm noticing is, as you talk about this, it seems like recruitment in your world is a lot much like sales. Like, it's like basically your sales pitch for that side.
Right. Yeah. And you know, this is, I mean, if there's one system that's not in place for every small brokerage and every team, it's recruiting. You know what I mean? It's like that. That's because, you know, if you did an org chart and you looked at like, what are all the roles in the company? And now there's a recruiter. Like, there never was a recruiter before. Like, we were just selling real estate. And so when you're a team, you know, and if you're a brokerage, that would, you know, you start your own independent or whatever, you are in the role, the box of recruiter. And either you have metrics that you are delivering on a month-to-month basis that are in alignment with your goals as far as the growth of the company, or you are not. And that's just one of the weak spots in, like, people start recruiting when somebody leaves, right? Like, that's how I did it. You know, like, be like, oh crap, two agents left. Well, we got to go recruit agents. Well, man, it's going to be 6 months before those agents ever produce, you know, get up and run, before you recruit, get them up and going, new agents anyways, and get them doing something and closing deals. It could be 4 months or 6 months down the road. So like, it's way too late at that point to be, you know, now I need to start doing some career nights and things of that nature. You should have that system in place. The minute you decide that you're going to recruit one agent, you better start putting a system in place for recruiting agents. And so, you know, it's the most missed thing that I see. And it's because you got so much other stuff on your plate, your name's in all these other boxes too, that, you know, it's not an immediate need, but you're not, you know, you're not getting in front of it and making sure that you're building a virtual bench of potential recruits, you know, to be bringing on.
Yeah, and I think you brought up a key point there. One of my business coaches in the earlier years of doing business, he brought up to me that, you know, you should have an org chart with every single job written down, whether it be sharpening pencils to whatever, and somebody's name should be there, even if it's yours, so that as you onboard, you can start dividing those jobs out and put them to somebody, because that way there's accountability, but yep. also knowledge that that job actually exists. Which
yep, that's a great advice. We had one of our mentors used to tell us, you know, your goal is shedding boxes, right? Like your name's going to be, if you do that process, your name's going to be in a lot of boxes, and your goal is to shed those boxes and get those responsibilities off to other people, at least the low leverage activities.
But so let me ask you, I'm going to finish off with one last question here. But say you have, you know, to put together a brokerage and you're at the new point, what do you think the single most important item for recruitment in the year 2020 moving forward will be, aside compensation? Because I think that that's one that we all know is right. slowly but surely creeping up. But aside compensation, what do you think the number yeah. one?
Man, that's a great question. You know, I've got such a a track that I've been on. You know what I'm saying? And you yeah. know, I think opportunity is the biggest lever that you could have, is creating opportunity. And we experienced this with when we were doing our partner program before we had joined EXP. And like, when you can create where somebody sees, wow, that I see this opportunity and I want a chance at this opportunity, that's such a big draw for the right kind of people. And I think solving that is a big deal. Whatever that might be, it could be technology, or it could be, you know, the coaching that you provide, or it could be, the way that you're going to, you know, provide additional marketing to, you know, to your agents, or do some things to help them, you know, start getting some inbound business through marketing. There's a lot of different things that could mean, but I think, you know, figuring out what that is, and, you know, for us at EXP, that is, you know, stock ownership and it's revenue share. Like that's opportunity. People see that as opportunity, and that's enough to tip them over the edge and say, okay, I'm going to uproot and go move my real estate business somewhere else. So like, they've got that, you know, in this business model, and that works. So like, I think that's what I would try to solve. And if I had to pick a second, I would probably say it's going to be, I hesitate to say technology, because, you know, I know there are, you know, lots of promises around technology and what I see happening.
Certainly an abused term in this industry at this point. Yeah.
Right. I talked to somebody yesterday, and they were saying, you know, how they had been, you know, waiting around for the technology that had been promised to be delivered. And I'm like, what is it going to exactly do for your business? And, you know, they can't ever explain it. And, you know, for that reason, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Somebody can create some really amazing technology, but
it's big and it costs $1 billion. Come on. It must be
right,
good.
Right. It's gotta be good. But I mean, what it's not going to do is it's not going to replace the agent on the phone. And right. when I look at Zillow and, you know, how basically Zillow did the same thing we've all been doing with our teams and our brokerages, is, you know, like, hey, we got all these leads. How are we going to monetize it the best way we can? And Zillow's like, well, you real estate agents suck at calling leads, so we're going to call them first, you know, and they build a whole call center around it. And now they're like, okay, well, we can't just give even good leads. We just can't give them to stupid agents, because they still won't close them. And so, so what do? You give your leads to the best agents. So now they're doing a referral fee based model where they give the best leads to the agents that have the highest close rates, which is probably the best model. And so when you know that that's the case, then what technology is going to be provided that's going to really make a difference for the majority of agents that are in the business? And it's probably not. The agents that adopt the technology, use it, will get some value, but it's going to be incremental. And then, you know, as soon as somebody rolls something out that's amazing, somebody else is going to copy it and sell it to the other 900,000 agents that don't have it, and sell it, you know. So, you know, the technology is going to be important. It's always going to be important. But I don't know that there's going to be some magical pill there that's going to be the go-to thing. I think I would just stick with like figuring out where's the opportunity that you can provide to show people that you can help them get to freedom or help them get to their financial targets.
Yeah. Speaking of that Zillow thing, I have my best of Zillow badge, but we're still on the paid program up here, not on the referral thing. And as soon as they go to referral, they can bite it, because if my ROI isn't there, I'm not playing games. I'm not giving them 30
Yeah, you can generate. Now, the thing that the thing that was fascinating to me, they had one of the big meetings, and I wasn't there, so this was coming secondhand from somebody I know that takes good notes. But that their actual conversion rate for, I would argue I could go off on a tangent on this. These aren't leads, by the way, right? These are people that did a home search or, that are doing some searching and around on they're not somebody that said, I want to do business with you or even with a realtor for that matter. So that's not really a lead. They only close about 2-3% of all of the people that do, that they capture their information doing searches. So that's about the same that we did on every platform we've ever used. And I've never seen any numbers really that showed anything any much better than that. I've seen some people that showed me some numbers that were way higher, and I'm like, I don't know how you do it, but I don't believe you. It could be a higher quality lead source or something, but go ahead.
The thing that we've done with it is like, I have to ride the heck out of the agents and really be all over them about the callbacks and stuff. I convert massively high with it, but we spend $5,000 a month with them. And I mean, we're closing deals a couple times a month for them. So it's obviously a no-brainer, because even if it's a lead into the next thing, it makes sense. But the reality is, again, in alluding back to what you said, you can't train a good agent. They're either a good agent or a bad agent as far as mentality. So right. A lot of people, they shit on the leads, but like you said, they're no different than other lead sources. The big difference is who's getting that lead and what are they doing with it.
That's exactly right. You're 100% right. So yeah, it's good stuff, man. It's interesting, but I think the agent that is willing to make the call, I mean, you can generate the same lead yourself, through Facebook ads or anything, any other, and it's the same type of lead. It's not, now they're doing a little bit more of the work for you, in the follow-up and stuff and some of that stuff and qualifying. It's interesting just to watch, the game and continue to try to find those pockets where opportunity are.
Yeah, you always got to be moving in this game for sure. You got to be moving and grooving and changing with the tide, So
yep.
Anyways, well, thanks for joining us today, Jay. Do you want to tell people a little more about yourself just so they can find you on the web and things like that?
Anybody has any questions about anything, I'm happy to have a conversation. You can go to, you can just Google me, Jay Kinder, or go to jaykinder.me, and you can schedule a call with me or reach out to me, find me on social media, whatever works for you. I'm probably there. Just, do a search for me.
Well, thanks for joining me today, Jay. I really appreciate your time. I'm excited to have had this meeting, and best of luck to you for the rest of 2019. I'll be seeing you around.
You got it, Sean. Have a good one, man. Take care.
I hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to PM me, DM me, email me, call me, whatever works best for you. Thank you for listening this week, and I look forward to talking to you next week.